Phoenix FM.
And here with Helen Callahan in the studio. It's great to be joined by an author. and as far, I mean, as far as you're concerned, you've not necessarily been an author for that long, have you?
No, it was 2015, I think I was basically, I was like, I just finished. I'd had an agent for years and submitted other things and nothing had quite worked. And then I just submitted Dear Amy. I'd finished writing it and I just like kind of collapsed from stress. So I was actually quite ill. And then my agent just phoned and it was sort of some people want to meet you. And I was like, oh, my God.
So with Dear Amy, you're writing a book that you have no idea is going to be published.
Well, it was kind of a strange story about Dear Amy because it was a book that I'd actually finished about 30 years before. It was not a, it was not very similar to the version that is out now, but it had the same characters. It had Margot and Martin was in it and Chris. And the problem was that when I wrote it, it was, I was very young. I was like about, God, was it 21, something like that? And I just had the idea and I just wrote it in this white heat. And I think also the world, you're not really, there are several things that happen in it that I think that I was probably not able to carry off properly.
We've got to be very careful because saying anything about the book gives a lot away, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's this has been a constant problem, sort of like describe. So what happens? And I can tell you how it starts, but I can't actually tell you too much about what happens. But basically, it's about a school teacher named Margot, who is in a position where her husband has left her for a work colleague, and she has this, you know, this history of depression and mental illness. And she's also an agony aunt. So she had, this is one of her, part of her therapy is being an agony aunt for the local paper. And she starts to get letters from somebody called Bethan Avery, who she finds out is a girl that was kidnapped years ago. And yet these letters from Bethan Avery seem to be happening to someone who is still imprisoned. So she starts to look into it and that's where it all starts to get very strange.
And this, the whole story there, you wrote 30 years ago.
Yeah. So it was, really, it was, you know, it just came to, sometimes they, you're writing and you have like an idea of what you'd like it to be. And you have an idea of the things that you're interested in, but you're not wholly there, but that book was very different. That was like, well, it's about this.
And then it got picked up 30 years later and
it had near misses at the time. There was some interest in it at the time, but you know, everyone said, well, we're not, you know, yeah, but nah, maybe
it's not,
you know,
quite the sort of thing they're looking for at the time.
No. And I think as well that there were some interesting things actually in it, because when I came back to look at it again, it had been lying there for years, you know, untouched. And when I came back to look at it again as an older writer, someone who'd written an awful lot in the meantime, I could see straight away what the problem was. And there are various things that you do, I think, that when you're a younger author that think, oh, yes, be it. And you just fill it full of red herrings and you just... And the other thing was, Chris was different. The villain in it was different. So the guy that's actually abducted Bethan. And at the time, he was this rich, wealthy, you know, gangster type person. And then looking back at it, I thought, well, that's really, I guess. But it'd be a bit more interesting. Well, what if he imagines he's somebody like that? You know what I mean? And have that kind of sense of, you know, delusional. You know, when people are delusional, they're so much more dangerous, they're so much more scary. So I rolled with that. And somebody seemed to like it, so it was all fine in the end.
Wow. And it's a long time coming, but well worth the wait then.
It was. Well, it takes you, it's really weird because everyone says, oh, no, it's happening. You should enjoy it. And it's actually impossible to enjoy because you're not quite sure it's true. And you are like a bit, you're a bit delusional in yourself, thinking, they're going to wake up, they made a terrible mistake. And I'm going, yes. And it's like, well, sorry, we meant another book, you know. But and it takes ages to get used to it. I think it's not really. Well, for me, it wasn't until I literally was holding a copy of it in my hands. Yeah. And you're going into Tesco and you're seeing it there. And you're like, oh.
And it only came out last year, didn't it?
It came out, actually it was 2 years ago.
Right.
It was exactly 2 years ago in hardback. It was 2016 in June. And then it was last year in paperback. And that was quite exciting. That was like, oh my God, it's like, it's everywhere. It's like, I'm buying milk and dairy.
And there were posters on the underground. And,
there know, were.
Absolutely everywhere.
That was, because that was always like kind of a dream of, like, going, oh, I'll go in the book and I'll go into, and there'll be a, then, and then there'll be a poster on the train line. And there was. It's like, so it was, it was like scraping me off the wall, really, for a little while there.
Well, look, we've got lots to talk about. And also, we'll be talking about the more recent book. And you've got another book due to come out next year as well.
I do. Yeah, it's
so there'll
happening.
Be loads for us to talk about. And we'll make sure anyone listening, if you're just catching this halfway or you have to go on an errand or something, it'll all be up on the website. We'll make sure that it's up on the Between the Lines page on phoenixfm.com as well. Joined live here in the studio with Helen Callahan.
Hello.
Hello, Sunday Times best-selling author, Helen Callahan.
I love it when you say it like that. That's just, oh my God.
And I mean, that is the case. We talk about Dear Amy, sort of written 30 years ago, but Everything Is Lies then comes out.
Yeah.
And you are a best-selling author with a, you know, second book, but it doesn't seem like that awkward second album, I suppose, if you wrote the other book 30 years ago.
Well, I think it was possibly the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And it was because several things happen in your head, I think, that the first one did really well.
Mm.
And, you know. And
you've got that pressure.
Yeah, this is it. It's like, and the thing is, like, they are like catching lightning in a bottle. You never quite know what it is that people liked about them.
Yes.
So you have to try and find some way to reproduce. And you just, you can't think that way because
you don't want it to become too formulaic then either, do you?
No. And you just have to go with what you think a good book is.
Yes.
And it was quite good fun, actually. I wasn't too bad because when I'd been on a writing retreat before Dear Amy finally sold. And I'd been asked to do a breakdown for a second novel because generally people like to, you know. You're going to write something else? Like, yeah, well, I think I was going to write this. So I did the breakdown for it then. And then I was in this position where I basically had about 18 months to write it. So I'd written other books since then that had, that were completely different. So it was quite a learning curve. It was quite, okay, so do this now.
So you got to put yourself in the zone and concentrate on that book for the 18 months then, really. Yeah.
And I was quite privileged because I had the chance to, well, basically, I was doing a bit of contract work, as a rule, I was writing full time.
Yeah.
So it was good and also it's great because you're writing full time, but also not great because you're writing full time. And the fact of the matter is that is also a process that needs to be learned, how to your day and
discipline yourself as if it's a normal job.
Yes,
for want of a better word.
Exactly, you're your own boss, and sometimes you know. I mean, you can actually be a bit of a rubbish boss, so a bit of a lazy boss, a bit of a slacker boss. But so it was quite because I thought my productivity would. And I've spoken to other authors, and they're all in exact. They tell me exactly the same thing. You think your productivity will shoot up because you've been writing after work and so forth, and that you'll just multiply that by the extra number of hours you have, and really, no.
But even in a normal working environment, you can have productive weeks and less productive weeks. It must work the same.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And sometimes when it's really hot, when, you know, I mean, you know, when you're loving it and you're really living it, it's much, much, the hours fly by, and that is great. That when you're lost in it, it's great. But, you know, a lot of it is, that's like, you probably know this yourself in creativity. It's like a lot of it is actually really hard work. You have to plod on till you get that.
But and also perhaps even still while you're writing it, trying to promote Dear Amy in certain ways.
Yeah.
You've got those appointments that you still got to keep and talk about the old book.
Yeah.
As such, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's because it's quite... you're going out and you're talking about Dear Amy, and that's also, while you're doing that, you are kind of like raising pressure for the second
yes.
one. So it's like, oh God. Well, and I've written this other one, which I hope will do as well. And
it has really, hasn't it?
It's done all right. It's coming out in paperback on the 20th of September. I'm quite excited about that. It was like a huge hit in audiobook. It was very well received in audiobook, and I was really lucky because I got to go see the audiobook being recorded of Everything Is Lies, and see, I think is Anna Popplewell read Sophia, and it was so moving, so exciting to actually sort of see your work. I mean, like the Dear Amy audiobook had been great, and Helen Baxendale did this amazing job, but I didn't get a chance to go see them actually. To make it and to watch somebody else do that with your work really was quite
So both books as such will be out in paperback, audiobook and everything by the end of next month.
Yes.
And as far as those books are concerned, then they're is that where all your publicity is almost finished, or does it give it another spurt because it's now in paperback?
It gives it another spurt because
right.
it's in paperback. There's and in a lot of ways, they're much more interested in the paperback than the hardback.
Right.
The paperback is really where, you know, that kind of like crime writing is much more interesting to people in paperback.
And things are slightly different because we're talking hardback and paperback, but all the time people can get it on Kindle.
They can.
Well.
They can. It's available, audiobook, Kindle, and it's like all of these formats.
And is it English language, or did people then, because it's that successful, start talking about doing it in other languages as well?
Yeah, well, Dear Amy is, I think, in about 4 or 5 different languages.
Right.
And it was published in America. I think it's in Dutch, Italian, French, German.
Oh.
What was the other one? Turkey. There's a Turkish version coming out.
Wow.
This is it. So it's quite like, and I find that quite, you know, when they arrive and they're like, I can't read this book, and yet I read it. It's so strange.
Do you get the opportunity to go to Paris and publicise it?
No, because that would be a complete waste of everybody's time. Since I don't speak the language, it'd be and you'd be like,
you wouldn't know what's going on.
Yeah. No. La guerre, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
la guerre.
Yeah.
It's just, no, it wouldn't work really.
No. It does make you think though, doesn't it? Because we're talking about books on air and the audio book. I mean, anyone listening to the radio at the moment may well then be likely to think, actually, yeah, the audio book is a good idea. They've really taken off, haven't they, audio books?
They have, and I think they help because people drive more and commute more and... when I listen to audiobooks, it's in the kitchen when I'm cooking. I have Alexa, and I get her to, then the audiobooks will be read to me.
Yeah.
And I love them. I think they're really great.
Yeah.
And the Everything in Lies audiobooks, you know what I mean? Like I say, it was like a huge hit.
Yeah.
It did astonishingly well. So.
And I mean, we'll put another song on, and we'll come back shortly talking about this stage that you're at now. Then, so with every book, you were saying between Dear Amy and then writing Everything Is Lies, you're now in that position where you're publicising 2 books and the third book you're just waiting to come out. You've written that, haven't you?
There's been a first draft of that. Right. I'm working on the edits for that now. Which should be very different actually, because Everything Is Lies is set in Suffolk and London, whereas Find Me is set in Orkney. Everything in Lies is, Everything Is Lies is, I think it was so hard to do, but I'm so fond of it, you know? It's just like...
And it's another book we can't really talk much about, really.
No! it's so basically it's about Sophia, who is an architect, who is, she's a young architect. She has a needy mother who phones her up and is, you know, constantly wanting her to come home, someone who's constantly neurotically worrying about her. Anyway, she gets a phone call when she's in the nightclub saying, please come home. It's an emergency. And Sophia just can't get home. She's over the limit. The trains have gone. I'll come tomorrow, she said. And when she does come home, she finds that her mother appears to have hanged herself and her father is mortally wounded. So her guilt is enormous. And what she does then find as she's going through the papers is that her mother was about to publish a book based on her time in a cult as a young woman. So then there's two stories. There's a story of Nina and the cult and the, you know, and the secrets that are coming out of that. And then there's Sophia's investigation, because Sophia believes that her mother would never kill herself or attack her father. So, yeah. So it's enormous fun to write, but very hard.
Yes. God. Oh, well, look, we've got lots to talk about here on Phoenix FM with Helen Callahan, talking to after Lenny Kravitz. Yeah, until 3 o'clock, joined in the studio by Helen Callahan. Now, we've spoken about Dear Amy, we've spoken about Everything Is Lies, and you have this third book that you're working on at the moment.
Yes, I do. It's called Find Me, and it's set in Orkney, and it's about archaeologists. The heroine, Fiona, is coming up to visit her friend Madison, who's on the dig and has been having some problems and suspects she's being stalked. But when Fiona gets there, her friend's vanished and nobody quite knows what's happened to her. So Fiona starts looking for her. And that was enormous fun to do, because it meant I got to go to Orkney. I mean, I go to Orkney every year anyway. I have a writing retreat in Orkney, because it's the most amazing place to write. And I just thought it'd be really great to set a book here. So, yeah.
So you did.
So and I did.
And because of that, if you're going to writers' retreats anyway, is there an idea at the back of your mind that seems to grow then into a book?
It's really weird how it works. So sometimes you'll get, like with Dear Amy, it was almost like the whole thing just kind of like, that's what your book's about. Yeah. And then you just write it. And then it's dead easy then, because you just... and sometimes you just think, you get like, just like the beginnings of an idea, and then you build the book out of that. And sometimes you have to do that as you go along. It can be really hard work. And you think, is this going to work? And then there's a point when you're writing and you're thinking, yeah, this is a novel, so it's okay. But sometimes it's really near the end. It's like, oh, yeah, this will work, I think.
And as well, because of that, you end up with... I mean, with your first two books, are you worried about becoming typecast? Thinking, oh, I'm a certain type of author, I have to do this?
It's a bit easier than it sounds, because, so at the moment, they're psychological thrillers. But I really enjoy writing them, though I have written other things. I really enjoy writing them. They are... In a lot of ways, they're gothic novels, I think. They're about... they're basically about being... It's the experience of being a woman and exploring things that frighten women. And that is naturally very interesting to me. You know, this the threat of violence and loss, and that the people that you love, you know what I mean, may not turn out to be who you think they are. And exploring that is actually, so I don't have a problem writing the psychological thrillers. And generally speaking, when they publish you, they think, and they're right, that if they want people who liked Dear Amy to like the next one. So there are other things that, you know what I mean, sort of like that I could be writing, but they wouldn't necessarily be an appropriate follow-up for Dear Amy. And... So at the moment, this is what I'm doing. I think in the future, there are other things that I've written in the past that I'd like to explore more fully. And I think that that's probably going to happen at some point. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm so busy doing this, and I am loving it. So,
And you talk about first draft. I mean, all of these books, I would I presume, aren't word for word as you'd planned them initially, and they're tweaked and amended and bits removed and added. And
yeah. Absolutely. So what happens is when you're... The last one, I didn't actually really have too much of a plan. I thought, well, let's just see where this goes. I think it'd be kind of interesting to explore. But generally speaking, when I write a thing, I write an elaborate plan that about halfway through just gets ripped up and thrown away and changed. Because when you're in them, you have better ideas. Mm. And sometimes the other thing that happens is that you'll plan a thing. And then when you've written it, you just think, well, that isn't quite as exciting as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
When... You know what I mean? I'm not sure that plays. So you tear it up and you write something else. And then if you write some new things, then things go off in new directions. And but is it Eisenhower that said that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable? Yeah, and that is pretty much how books work.
Yes. And I've got to move on, really. I mean, in terms of the way that the books are written, you read them. I think you probably read any book that you really enjoy and you think, this will make a really great film. This will make a really great TV show.
Thank you.
That is the next stage, is in some ways, isn't it, in terms of getting your name out there. And being a more of a household name.
Yes, it's. I would love to see them filmed. I saw the audiobook getting made, which essentially is somebody acting it.
Yes,
and I was astonished by how moving I found it. To see other people collaborating with your work is very strong, especially when you. I do collaborate really with the books. They're edited, and people design the covers, and there's all this art and publicity. There's sort of this massive, you are kind of the tip of the iceberg in terms of this other creative activity that is going on around you all the time. And these people are like super talented. But it would be really, really lovely actually to sort of like, you know what I mean, see it dramatized.
Yeah.
So there have been talks, nothing's come of it.
No.
But hopefully...
And regardless, you're loving what you're doing at the moment.
Well, this is it. And I would have nothing to do. That's the other great thing about it, is that I would have nothing to do with it. Other people would do all that. So, I couldn't write a script. I don't have the... It's very specialised knowledge. Mm. And I think if you can do it, great. But I just know.
Well, look, anyone listening, if they want to find out more, I mean, Helen Callahan, author, if you put that into Google, you will bring up the books anyway.
Ideally.
You're fairly active on Twitter, aren't you?
I waste time on Twitter, yes.
And that's H.E. Callahan?
H.E. Callahan, yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, as far as the likes of Amazon are concerned, put your name in, the books are there and they're good value on Kindle.
This is it. And yeah, that's right. And they're both out, and Everything Is Lies is paperback. And that's happening on the 20th of September. And I'm, really excited.
You're going to be busy. No, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
And as I say, anyone listening, if you caught it halfway, do make sure you go over to the Phoenix FM website. We'll put this interview up and all the links to Helen. Now, you will come back and talk to us when the next book's
whenever
out,
you like.
You?
Yeah, this has been great,
So Find Me is the next book.
Yes. And August next year, they're saying. Yes.
So we should have you down at least in a year's time, if not before. Helen, thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, thank you. It's been great. Phoenix FM.